December 1941, millions of brave men and women enlisted to protect our nation and its people from this evil that attacked us. And over 400,000 of them did not come home. I hold every life to be dear and precious, and I know you do too. But let me put this in perspective. Over 400,000 military personnel. This doesn't include civilian losses. It doesn't include all the deaths. But military personnel from the United States of America, over 400,000 did not survive the war. In the conflict, I want to put some perspective here. In the conflict in Afghanistan from 2001 through 2014, we lost 2,356 service men and women. In that horrible Vietnam War, that terrible war that cost so many American lives, that conflict lasted 20 years. And as terrible as our losses were, 58,209 died. And yet World War II claimed in only 4 years, seven times that number in only 4 years. Jesus said there would be wars and rumors of wars, and because evil abounds in this world, there will continue to be wars. And where wars are fought, people will die. However, it is sometimes in the bitter winter of war that we can see the best in humanity. World War II veteran Desmond Doss won the Congressional Medal of Honor and never fired a shot. He was a conscientious objector for religious reasons, and yet when the attack came on Pearl Harbor, Doss enlisted hoping to serve as a medic, and he refused to carry a weapon. He said, "I will not kill." They called him a conscientious objector. He said, "I choose to be a conscientious cooperator." And you will see why in a moment. Ultimately, he participated in the bloodiest battle of the Pacific War. And the movie Hacksaw Ridge, spoiler alert, is based on that battle located on the island of Okinawa. His unit scaled a 400-foot sheer cliff face to attack the Japanese stronghold at the top. But of course, they had to withdraw after fierce fighting. They had to withdraw due to overwhelming enemy numbers. The last man to go back down that cliff, Doss began hearing the cries of his wounded comrades. And so he went back into the kill zone and brought out a wounded soldier. And single-handedly, because there was nobody else to help him, he rigged a rope as best he could and lowered this man down the 400-foot drop to the beach, where medical help saw him and came to his aid. They had no idea who was up there. And soon he went back for another, and then another, and then another. And soon he was completely exhausted from this effort, and he began to pray, "Lord, please help me get one more. Give me the strength to get one more." And in total, Corporal Desmond Doss saved the lives of more than 75 wounded men that day. Though he refused to take a life, he risked his own life to try and save his injured brothers. I don't want to forget a story like that, do you? I want to remember that brave man and others like him. In the heat of a battle, one may choose to give up his life to save his comrades, his brothers in arms. A squad of Marines is hiding in an artillery crater, one where an artillery blast has blown a big old hole in the terrain, and so a whole squad is down there waiting to advance, waiting for the order to come to advance, when suddenly a grenade is lobbed right into the middle of them. And one Marine throws himself on it to save his friends. Hero That's what that is. And this happened more times than you might think. In fact, I read yesterday that during World War II, more Congressional Medals of Honor were awarded to men who actually threw themselves on grenades than any other single incident in that entire war. They did it to save their brothers. Some survived, most did not. What does it take to do something like that? What does it take? What kind of bravery, what kind of courage, what kind of selfless sacrifice does it take to do something like that? To give up your life for the sake of someone else? Jesus inspired, through the Holy Spirit, the Apostle Paul to write in Romans 5:7, "For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet perhaps for a good man, someone would even dare to die." Jesus said in John 15:12-13, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends." That's what our countrymen did. What did Jesus do? In John 10:9-11, "I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief does not come except to kill, to steal, and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep." In Romans 5:6-11, Mick read a few moments ago part of this, "For when we were still without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die." And people have. People have done that. But I want you to see what Jesus did. "But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than having been now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son. Much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only that, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation." When we were enemies, can you imagine a soldier jumping into a foxhole filled with enemy, throwing himself on the grenade that one of his own comrades has thrown in there to save the lives of his enemies? Can you imagine anybody doing that? No one in his right mind would do that. No one. And yet, Jesus did that for all of us. For all humanity. Jesus sacrificed himself while we were his enemies, folks. While we were his enemies. People do that maybe for someone they care about, for someone they love, but not for their enemies. But Jesus died for us while we were the enemy. We were sold under sin. We were fighting on the other side. We were Satan's soldiers. And yet Jesus gave his life for us even then. In Titus 3:3-7, "For we ourselves were also once foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving various lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another." There's the description of life in this world, brothers and sisters. That's the description of the way people live in this world apart from God, apart from his son Jesus Christ. This is the way people live when they do not follow God's will. They live as foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving various lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. That's the world we live in without God. "But when the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done," we did nothing to deserve God sending his son, nothing earning that gift, nothing worthy of that sacrifice, There's no good in us at all that would justify what Jesus did for man. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior. That having been justified by His grace, we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. What Jesus did was to throw Himself on the grenade. What Jesus did was to die for everyone. Now what should we do? We talked about what our fellow countrymen did and the reason that we honor them. You can read that in the bulletin this week. I hope you will. The reason we honor them is there. 3 o'clock tomorrow. 3 o'clock tomorrow. The whole nation is supposed to stop for a moment of silence in honoring our departed dead. The whole nation is supposed to stop at 3 o'clock tomorrow, local time. So if for some reason you're in Chattanooga, okay, or in the Rocky Mountains, whatever the local time, that's what time you stop. And the whole nation is supposed to go quiet and just be still in recognition and reflection and memorial of our loved ones who have given their lives, the ultimate sacrifice for our freedom, for our safety, for our way of life that we so much enjoy and unfortunately so often take for granted. That's what they did. We've talked to you about what Jesus did, how He sacrificed Himself for everyone, even me, His enemy. And He died for me, and He died for you. So what should we do? Well, we should be grateful. We should be so grateful for what was done for us by our countrymen and for what Jesus did. I read this story. I want to share it with you. My daughter gripped my hand and asked me, "Daddy, is that man in the wheelchair a soldier?" I told her, "Yes, dear, he was a soldier." "Well, what's that jewelry on his shirt and on his hat?" I told her they were medals that show how brave he was when he fought in the war. "Is he a hero?" "Well, why don't you go ask him yourself?" So she released my hand and walked over to the old World War II veteran sitting there in the National Cemetery. "Hi," the man smiled at her when she spoke. "Hello there," he said. She pointed at his medals. "My daddy says you're a soldier." I was, yes, I was. "Are you a hero?" He did not answer. Tears filled his eyes and ran down his cheeks. With all the strength he had, he reached down, picked her up, sat her on his knee. She reached up and touched his ball cap with the emblems and the medals on it. "Little one," he finally spoke, "I'm not a hero. I'm just an old soldier, but I made it home." Looking across the cemetery, he said, "These men, my friends, who didn't make it back, they were the heroes." Certainly, we should be grateful for all those who died to give us freedom. Because freedom is not free. But above all, we simply have to be grateful to God for giving us His Son to buy us back from Satan's death, because freedom is not free. It says simply, "And there they crucified Him." He paid the price. So we need to be grateful. And we need to remember, in 1 Corinthians 11, 23 through 26, we just did this. Jesus, on the same night in which He was betrayed, took bread, and when He had given thanks, He broke it and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he come. So remember. Remember what was done. Remember the sacrifices that were made by our countrymen. But above all, remember the sacrifice that Jesus made on the cross. And then we should, in recognition of what he did for us, we should obey him and serve him. Obey and serve him. John 15, 14, Jesus said, I lay down my life for my friends, and you are my friends if you do whatever I command you. If you do whatever I command you. How do we honor Jesus for his sacrifice? By being a sacrifice ourselves. By being a living memorial to him. A living memorial to him. Romans 12, 1 and 2, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Being transformed, not being conformed to this world, transformed, presenting our bodies as a living sacrifice, a living memorial to the Lord. So let us not waste what we've been given. Titus 3 and 8, this is a faithful saying, and these things I want you to affirm constantly, that those who have believed in God should be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable to men. Keep doing the good. Avoid the evil and do the good. That's how you present yourself as a living memorial to Jesus. Show the world what Jesus did by the way you live, by the changes that have happened in your life, as you try to conform to become more and more like and less like the world. So tomorrow, as we remember and honor our heroes, those who gave their lives for us, don't waste what you've been given. Do your duty as an American to support the principles and freedoms on which this great nation was founded. And today, and every day that you live, be grateful for what Jesus did for you. Remember him every day, especially every Sunday as we partake of the Lord's Supper, and obey and serve him by being a living sacrifice. Memorial Day is truly an American holiday, but the Bible is filled with memorials, and the greatest of all is, of course, as we take the Lord's Supper to remember what Jesus did. Let us never forget. Let us never doubt. And let us always show our gratitude by being a living memorial to Jesus. If there is any sin in your life that would prevent you from going to heaven, you need to do something about it. If you're a child of God already, but you've not been faithful, you need to rededicate your life to him. And if you've never obeyed the gospel, you need to become a child of God. Do you believe Jesus is the Son of God? Then turn away from sin. Commit yourself to his keeping. That's what repentance is. Confess the sweet name of Jesus and be baptized for the remission of your sins. Let the blood of Jesus wash your sins away so that God can write your name in the Lamb's Book of Life and you can be a part of the Lord's family. If there's a way we can help you today to make things right with God, we invite and encourage you to come right now if you need to as we stand and sing.